Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And this is a fitting text for us on the fifth Sunday of Lent. Holy Week is approaching, which means the passion and death of Jesus are coming up quickly, both for the people in John's Gospel and also for us. Right after the verses we're going to hear today, John tells us that Jesus will enter Jerusalem, and he will be accompanied by crowds of people shouting out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." That is the part of the story we will remember and celebrate next week on Palm Sunday. But before he gets to Jerusalem, Jesus stops for a visit in Bethany, in the home of Lazarus, the man he has raised from the dead. So we pause here, too, for this story that serves as a transition between the first half of John's Gospel and the second half. Between the first part of the story, which is focused on Jesus' life and ministry, and the second part, which is focused on his passion and his death. In today's reading, we're going to hear about Lazarus's sister, Mary, and what she did to reveal her deep faith and her generous heart. And what she does sits right at this transition point in the Gospel of John, as Mary anoints Jesus' feet, pouring a pound of perfume on them. She both honors his life and prepares him for death. She anoints his feet and then wipes them with her hair. And the verb used here in Greek for Mary's wiping of Jesus' feet, it is the same verb John will use to describe Jesus' act of wiping the disciples' feet during the last meal they will soon share together. But Mary's extravagant display of generosity is met with great concern by at least one of the disciples. So honoring life, preparing for death, growing in faith, bestowing our gifts, that is what we are going to hear about in today's reading. So listen now for the word of God in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When the letter came in the mail last April, Jessica Peter almost didn't believe it. She thought maybe it was a scam. But Jessica also knows that life can be full of surprises. Back in 2015, when she found out she was pregnant, she went to the doctor and discovered she was having twins. But the surprises didn't stop there. Due to medical complications, her babies were born 3 months early, which meant they had to spend a significant amount of time in the NICU. And 11 of those days happened to fall during the time when Jessica's husband was transitioning from one job to another. 11 days for two babies in the NICU with no medical insurance coverage. That left the Peter family struggling under a mountain of debt. They worked hard to pay down the $600,000 they owed, but they honestly didn't know if they would ever be able to get the balance to zero. But then last April, a letter came in the mail telling them that $120,000 of that debt had been paid off for them by a local church. It turned out that Madison Street United Methodist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, had raised $21,000 through their own church and through the support of members in their community. And they worked with an organization called RIP Medical Debt. Now, that organization was actually founded by two former debt collection executives who are now on the other side on a crusade to eliminate medical debt. These guys recognize that medical debt is the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States. And many people are just one medical emergency away from being destroyed financially. So what they do is buy up large bundles of medical debt, and then they raise money to pay it off. And every dollar they raise can eliminate $100 worth of debt, which means that Madison Street United Methodist Church was able to use the $21,000 they raised to eliminate $2.1 million of medical debt for families in Tennessee and Mississippi. And the Peters were one of those families. For Jessica, she said that getting that letter in the mail was nothing short of a miracle. She said, there are angels everywhere, and sometimes they're in human form. Now, I wonder what Judas would have had to say about all of this. On the one hand, our scripture reading today tells us that Judas was concerned about the poor. At least that's what he said. But it turned out that his concern was really a front for a more powerful love that pulled at his heart, the love of money. When Judas questioned Mary's decision to pour 300 denarii's worth of pure nard on Jesus' feet, he pretended to be concerned about what seemed like an extravagant waste of money and a missed opportunity to truly help those in need. But what Judas was really concerned about was the opportunity he had missed. The opportunity to line his own pockets with the profits they could have made from the sale of that perfume. Now, if Judas were around today, I wonder what he would have said if he were a member of Madison Street United Methodist Church. Would he have objected to their decision to give $21,000 away to help complete strangers? Would he have wondered if those strangers were deserving of having their debts relieved? Would he have pushed the church to think about what else they could have done with that $21,000? Maybe there were projects around the church that needed some attention, or maybe there was an endowment that needed a little boost. I'm guessing he could have found lots of reasons to keep that $21,000 instead of giving it away. The love of money had a powerful hold on Judas's heart. And sometimes, if we're honest, it can have a powerful hold on our hearts too. Because sometimes we find extravagant generosity not to be so much inspiring as it is intimidating. Think for a minute about what Mary did during that dinner in Bethany. Jesus had come to her brother's home, the brother who had been dead but then was raised to new life. In an extravagant display of love and faith, Mary wanted to thank Jesus for the miracle he had performed. And she wanted to prepare him for what was coming next, because she knew he was going to Jerusalem to die. So Mary knelt down and poured 300 denarii's worth of nard on his feet. That amount of perfume cost almost a whole year's worth of wages in Jesus' time. And she might have been able to get away with using just a little bit of nard instead, but she chose to go all out. She poured the whole pound of perfume on Jesus' feet. She bestowed upon him the greatest gift she could give. She was extraordinarily generous. But maybe that extravagant generosity scared Judas. Scripture tells us that he scoffed at Mary because she could have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor, or rather, she could have sold the perfume and the money could have ended up in Judas's pocket. He seemed to be worried about the poor when he was only worried about himself. But I wonder if there was another concern that he carried here, something more than just money. I wonder if he was worried that he could never measure up to Mary's extravagant generosity or her deep faith. Mary's generous heart exposed Judas for who he was. And maybe her generosity exposes us too. Because if you think about it for a minute, think about how much money you make in a year, how much money you get in a year, and then think about literally pouring that money away, all of it, every last cent. Would you have the heart to do it? I'm not sure how many of us would. It's easy to scoff at Judas in our scripture reading today and claim that we would never be like him. But if we're honest, if we look into our hearts, I'm guessing that we see a bit of Mary there and a bit of Judas too. There is the part of us that gives generously and bestows gifts without a second thought, and there is the part of us that counts the cost and wonders whether such generosity really pays off in the end. Which is why we need both Judas and Mary in this story. Not so that we can make Judas a villain and Mary a saint. We need both of them in this story so that we can remember both of them had a place around the table that night in Bethany. Around that table, there was devotion and deceit, generosity and worry, faithfulness and betrayal. There was Mary and there was Judas. There was room for both of them at the table of God's love and grace, and so there is room for us too. Whether we identify with Mary or with Judas, or more likely, somewhere in between. There is room for all of us at the table of God's love and grace. And that is nothing short of a miracle. Amen. Friends, our communion hymn is a hymn of joy we sing. If you're here in the sanctuary, you will find it in your hymnal. And if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop.